The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 7, beginning at verse 10. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." And he said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men, that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the boy knows how to refuse evil and choose the good, the land whose two kings you dread will be deserted. The Lord will bring you and upon your people and upon your father's house such days as have not come since the day of Ephraim, departed from Judah, the king of Assyria." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans 1, beginning with verse 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand, through his prophets and the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Matthew, the first chapter. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm sorry if my voice sounds a little raspy this morning. I decided to get bronchitis for Christmas. You know, you all have different traditions, you know, for your house for Christmas. Mine is right around Christmas. I've got to get bronchitis. And don't worry, it's not catchy. All right, the text for today's message was the gospel lesson. Leonard Bernstein, the conductor for the New York Philharmonic Orchestra, was asked once what was the hardest instrument to play. And he said, "The violin." "Really?" And he says, "Well, it's the second violin that's the hardest to find. The first chair, you know, that's the one most important, supposedly the best, gets first chair." He says, "First chair I can fill easily. It's, nobody wants to be the second fiddle." Joseph, in our text, sometimes gets lost in the whole story. You know, we look at the baby Jesus, certainly important. Mary, the angels, the shepherd, the wise men. I've been told that when people are setting up their nativity, sometimes Joseph gets put outside and a shepherd gets put in his place. Poor Joseph, even when they're setting up manger scenes, he gets lost. But Joseph adds some beautiful harmony to the story. I'm going to kind of look at the actions of Joseph and how he trusted the Lord. And one of the things, when we're trusting the Lord, we have to seek justice, but with mercy. Verse 18 says, Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way, when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph. By the way, we don't know how old they were when they got married. I always love it when people say, well, Mary was 14 and Joseph had to be in his late 30s. Where's that one written? All right, it's kind of like saying there's three wise men. No, just says wise men came. So when you set up your mangers, you also blew it when you put just three wise men because it could have been 10. But anyway, their ages we don't know. Now, betrothal in Judaism is different than an engagement. Of course, there's two parts for a Jewish wedding. You have the betrothal that takes place first, and then the marriage. And when they are betrothed, there's a contract. There's literally a contract between the two parties that's sealed. And what seals the deal, all right, what seals the deal is when the groom's family gives the bride's family a large gift. Now, with that, the bride's family is supposed to pay for the wedding, but then also have sort of an insurance policy because the husband can decide, no, he doesn't like this wife, wants to get rid of her. Then at least her father has something to give her so she won't be destitute. So what we've done in today's world is we just make the bride's family pay and the groom's parents get away scot-free. I like the idea of getting a little loot coming my way first. All right. By the way, the time frame between the betrothal and the wedding was about a year. That was to make sure that the bride was not pregnant by somebody else. Remember, it's not a time frame when you had DNA tests. So you have a full year and she's not pregnant during that time, then the wedding would generally take place. It's somewhere in that year that we have our text for today. Joseph finds out that Mary is pregnant, and the angel says to him, Do not be afraid. All right. So Mary's pregnant. When Mary finds out that she's going to be the mother of the Savior, the angel says to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And quite understandably, Mary says to the angel, How will this be, since I am a virgin? Says the angels answered her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who had been called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. Then Mary responded, Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Then we know once the angel left, Mary went to see Zechariah and Elizabeth. Zechariah had been the high priest. That's when he found out that Elizabeth was going to have a baby. Now, we don't know what happened during those 3 months, but I have an idea with Mary staying with the high priest and his wife. They were doing an awful lot of searching of the scriptures to find out what the Messiah was supposed to do. But she stays 3 months. She just gets pregnant, comes back 3 months later. What do you think Joseph sees when he first sees her? He didn't see her eyes. He saw a belly. Now, what is Joseph to think? Also, how can Mary explain this? Did you ever think about that? How can Mary explain? Well, God said this. Had it ever happened before that way? No. All right. Would you believe it? All right. Those of you when your daughters were younger, or daughters now, and they said, oh, the angel told me I'm going to have a baby. It's like, really, try that one again. Now, we know that Joseph was a devout man of God. It said her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Here is a man with a great deal of integrity and personal honor. He could have made a big public deal about, look it, she's gone for 3 months and she comes back. Oh yeah, and she's also telling me the story that Elizabeth, who's in her 80s, is going to have a baby too. You know, Mary, you're telling a whopper here. Who's going to believe this one? But he doesn't do that. He decides secretly he's going to break that sealed contract and not marry her, which is the equivalent of giving her a divorce. If she was to have any chance of getting married, Joseph had to do this without her losing respect in the community. And it doesn't appear either that he asked for the gift back that was given to Mary's family. That is justice tempered with mercy. God also never forgets those who remember him. You know, you really can't blame Joseph for ever thinking that he's the forgotten one in this story. I mean, Mary is going to be the mother of the Son of God, and Elizabeth in her old age is going to give birth to a son. So you know he's going to be very important too. Excuse me. Now, it says, Joseph considered these things, and behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. See, God remembered the faith of Joseph. And assured him by an angel appearing in a dream that he was to take Mary as his wife. You realize the huge responsibility Joseph has? He is the earthly father to the Christ child and the growing up years. That is a pretty big responsibility. He has to prepare and equip Jesus for his ultimate mission. There's a story of a man and his son who were climbing up a mountain, which, by the way, that's something else I've never understood, why people climb mountains, just take a helicopter and land up there and look around. But some people find mountain climbing exciting. All right, I like bungee cords. All right, so you know that's my thing. They like climb mountains, whatever. So this father and son, they're climbing a mountain, and it gets very difficult in the path, and there's a couple of ways to go. And the son says, choose the good path, Dad. I'm coming right behind you. Joseph had an awesome responsibility raising the Messiah. He shouldn't be forgotten. Another lesson we can learn here is God's always at work in the lives of his children. I want to talk about the number of prophecies about Jesus. It's been counted there are 332 distinct predictions about the Messiah. Now, in a book called Evidence That Demands a Verdict, all right, people have read some through some of the prophecies, and you can find one prophecy that might apply to, say, President Kennedy, one to Martin Luther King, one to Gandhi. But nobody can fulfill all the prophecies. In a book called Science Speaks, the odds of filling just eight of those 332 predictions about the Messiah, here's the odds. 1 out of 1, and then add 17 zeros after that. If you want to know just how big that number is, you all know the size of a silver dollar. Silver dollars stacked up 2 feet, covering the entire state of Texas. That's the odds of somebody fulfilling all 332. By the way, the odds of the prophets writing these, just eight. I'm not talking about all 332, just the eight. All right, would be the equivalent of taking a blind man, putting him in the state of Texas and tell him to find just one coin. And you don't say God's hand's involved in all of this? It certainly points to the fact that he is the Messiah. Isaiah had written, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." 800 years later, Matthew would write the exact same words. Now, do you think Mary and Joseph were a confused couple at this point? I would love to have sat at their dinner table. All right, probably a relatively young couple. They're told she's going to give birth to the Messiah. And they don't by the way, they accept all this without understanding all the hows and whys. Do you notice when Mary's told you're going to give birth, she just asks one question: how can this be? I'm a virgin. After the angel explains it, immediately Mary says, "Let it be to me as you have spoken." That's called immediate obedience. Same thing with Joseph. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Joseph obeyed God without understanding all the hows and whys. Joseph literally is a case of "your will be done, not mine." You know what delayed obedience is? I'll get around to doing it. I read something in Scripture and I'll get around to doing it. Joseph, notice in that text, it was immediate obedience. Now, you know, we could discuss education, and you never want to get me on that topic after three cups of coffee. But it has been argued that they're dumbing down education to help low achievers. In Great Britain, for example, students do not fail a grade. It's called delayed success. All right? It's kind of like deferred or delayed obedience. Eventually, they'll get to it. No, God calls for immediate obedience. And when people don't immediately obey God, then they wonder why their life is such a mess. It kind of makes sense. By the way, one of the characteristics of all the biblical heroes is that they obeyed God. They knew that they had received their grace and forgiveness from God, and they responded by obedience to Him. And Joseph is an example of trusting God in all circumstances. And I said already once, he didn't have to understand all the whys in order to do it. And I am sure that Joseph was extremely confused as things were going on. There's a story about a man on a plane, and they're on the runway to take off, and they're heavy snowstorm, delay after delay after delay. How many of you ever been on a plane that's delayed? Man, is there anything worse than that? You know, please get me out of here. All right. Finally, the plane takes off. As the plane is up in the air, the man looks out the window. He can barely see anything. Finally, when they break through the clouds, it's clear and bright. Joseph starts off in sort of that darkness of not understanding what's going on. But God worked through Joseph to bring the light to the world. So no matter where you find yourself in life today, remember this: in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.